You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 15th of April 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAlbion.com. Well, I'm amazed that the conspiracy theorists are still talking about numbers being massaged upwards and how the true figures are much lower than they actually are, because we've got this huge scandal over here in Britain about these deaths that are occurring in the care homes that I was talking about yesterday. I pointed out yesterday that if we have the same numbers of dead over here in Britain as they've had in Europe, then it means we've got twice as many dead, because they're not including the care home figures. They're just telling us the number of the dead from the hospitals. And this has been picked up on now by the mainstream press. There are no official figures on the number of care home deaths so far, but some estimates put the toll as high as 12,000. The London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine says evidence from France, Belgium, Spain, Italy, and Ireland suggests between 42% and 57% of all COVID-19 deaths happen in care homes. There have been 12,000 deaths officially in the UK so far, according to government figures, which only cover hospitals. It could mean there have been another 12,000 in care homes. The Office for National Statistics puts the number at only 217, but its figures are 11 days out of date at a time when the death rate has risen dramatically. That's incredible, isn't it? They put it at 217, but it could in actual fact be 12,000. Care England, which represents independent care providers, and Work and Pensions Secretary Theresa Coffey both estimate the toll to be at least 1,000. The Mail's own audit has found 951 deaths, but many care homes have declined to give figures. The Alzheimer Society estimates there have been 2,500 deaths, and Mike Pagham of the Independent Care Group, which represents care homes and home care providers, said he believed the virus could already have claimed the lives of at least 4,000 residents. He based the figures on estimates that suggest the care home death toll is equal to about a third of the total deaths in hospitals, as well as on care home deaths from other countries, which he said would be no different to the UK. So we've got thousands of old white people that are dying here that's been covered up over the last month. And you think about that number there that Mike Pagham came up with from the Independent Care Group. He claims that it could have taken the lives of at least 4,000 residents. Well, this has been reported on the same day as we're told that just 19 patients were treated over the Easter weekend at the 4,000-bed NHS Nightingale Hospital in London. So one of the estimates is that we've got 4,000 dead elderly white people, and on the same day we're being told that there's a 4,000-bed hospital in London which is empty, which has nobody in it. Why weren't our elderly put in that hospital? Why weren't they given a chance? Why were they just left to die in the care homes? Few patients were treated at the new overflow facility, as intensive care capacity at existing London hospitals never went above 80%. The new 4,000-bed temporary NHS Nightingale Hospital in East London treated just 19 patients over the whole Easter weekend, it has emerged. Leaked data shows the tiny handful of patients were treated at the massive overflow facility, as intensive care capacity at existing London hospitals never went above 80%. It comes as an NHS chief in the northeast of England predicted that the Nightingale Hospital under construction there is unlikely to be needed. Occupying London's XL Conference and Event Centre, NHS Nightingale London was built in just 9 days after a massive operation involving military planners. So all the while they were wasting time on building this hospital that could take all these people, instead of actually taking our elderly to that hospital, they just left our elderly to die in the care homes. This is shocking. We knew who the most vulnerable members of our community were. We knew the ones who were most likely to get the harshest extent of this disease if they caught this virus. And they were just ignored. And they just spent their time building this huge hospital that they don't need. And once they actually had the huge hospital, they still ignored the elderly and didn't bother to take any of them there. This is absolutely scandalous. And besides this huge hospital that is empty, tens of thousands of NHS hospital beds remain unoccupied amidst the coronavirus crisis, about four times the normal number, due to huge ongoing efforts to free up space and a slowdown in admissions from other causes. Figures from the National NHS Operational Dashboard, seen by HSJ, show that 40.9% of NHS general acute beds were unoccupied as of the weekend. 37,500 of the total 91,600 relevant beds recorded in the data. That is 4,500 more than the 33,000 the NHS said had been freed up on the 27th of March, and nearly four times the normal amount of free acute beds at this time of year. Now bear that in mind, the acute beds, those beds could have been used for the elderly that were dying in the care homes. This is not good enough. The government are now saying, well, what we will do, we will test the workers in the care homes. But as we know, they've got total failures with these tests. They were relying on getting parts for these tests from China. The parts that they were given, some of them were contaminated with coronavirus, and the actual tests that they were sent were faulty. They weren't accurate enough. They were telling us that some people had the virus, and the next time they were tested, it was saying they didn't have it. You couldn't rely upon them. So the government are now promising that they're going to roll out all these tests for the care home workers, and they're just going to fail. What they should be doing is taking the elderly, once they find that they've got this, and taking them to this hospital, this huge, great, empty hospital that we've built in London. And if we've got another one that we're building in the north, that they're now saying that we're very likely not even going to need to use it, they should be taking elderly there as well, and hoping to save the remainders of our elderly that are in these care homes. The nurses that were interviewed about this yesterday, what they were saying is a lot of the elderly, they have the diseases that you associate with old age, but they should be lasting for years yet. Some of them should have had 10 years left in their lives. And yet, because they've caught this coronavirus, they're just dying straight away. They're getting a death a day. And you imagine how shocking this must be for these nurses that become attached to these people in these care homes. And suddenly they've got 10, 12, 15 dying within a matter of a few days. And they're dying there without oxygen, without palliative care, because the care homes don't have all the facilities that the hospitals have. This is an absolute tragedy that's going on here. And you've got conspiracy theorists saying, oh, they're bumping up the numbers, and they're not telling us that the people in the hospitals have actually died from coronavirus. It might be something else. And while all that is going on, we've got thousands of elderly white people, because they're from a generation that was 99% white at the time. There was no immigration back then. You think these people are 80 years old, that means that they're bound to be 99% of them are going to be white. This is what we should be concerned about, not conspiracy theories about them bumping up the numbers. The fact is that they've hidden half the numbers from us, and those numbers are majority white. And the concerns that they've got are, oh, we've got far more black and minority ethnic people that are that are dying than their percentage of the population, when the truth is we've got something like 99% of the people dying in the care homes are all white. How about we have an investigation into that? Well, changing the subject and moving over to America now, I've got a bit of positive news here. Donald Trump has finally spoken up about how political correctness has hampered the ability to deal with this pandemic. And he has actually followed through on his threat to remove funding from the World Health Organization. China has warned it has serious concerns after Donald Trump suspended all US funding to the World Health Organization for what he called its role in severely mismanaging the spread of coronavirus. So I bet China is rather concerned about this, because I should imagine the next move after this will be to sue China for the costs of this pandemic, which is something that a think tank in Britain suggested last week, and a way of doing this, of showing that they had failed to live up to the treaties that they actually have for being a part of the World Health Organization. And I mean, they've got a motive there, because they want to be able to say, well, our communist state managed to deal with this problem and we didn't get lots of dead. They want to make the communist state look superior to everyone else, and that was their motive for doing it. But the results of that is that the rest of the world, when they were being given their advice by the World Health Organization, they fell for it. Of course, nationalists that have been looking at the actual disease itself and the reports that were coming out of China and the videos, we knew that there was much more people dying than we were actually being told, but these politicians have to go on what the World Health Organization tells them. And of course, being led by this Ethiopian, who's not even a doctor, and the average IQ of Ethiopia is 61, so he's hardly a super intelligent person that we've got leading the World Health Organization. I think he just fell for this. I think he just believed what China told him. Zhao Lian, a spokesman for Beijing's foreign ministry, said the global battle against the pandemic is at a critical moment, and that suspending funding will undermine international cooperation against the epidemic. His warning came after President Trump said the US will withhold some $500 million in WHO funding while an investigation into its handling of the pandemic is carried out. Well, the WHO has shown that it's not fit for purpose, hasn't it? It's already came out with multiple failures which have caused multiple people to die. Why would you want to continue funding it? Trump singled out what he called the WHO's dangerous and costly decision to argue against international travel bans to combat the pandemic. The WHO had also praised China's domestic lockdown as an exemplary way to contain the outbreak, while at the same time opposing international travel bans of the kind promoted by President Trump. I mean, this is the incredible thing. What they did in China, they shut down Wuhan, they dug up the roads, they prevented the trains from coming out, and they said nobody is going to be able to get out from Wuhan into the rest of China. And if you believe what their figures, what they actually succeeded in doing is preventing the disease from getting out from Wuhan into China. It never even made its way to Beijing. So that's quite obviously the way that this needed to be dealt with. And yet when Trump was suggesting banning travel to China, the WHO attacked him and said, oh no, that's the wrong thing to do. And the press attacked him, said he was xenophobic for wanting to do this. And quite clearly, that was the way to deal with it, because it was a success for China. While praising his own decision to limit travel to and from China on January the 31st, a month after the first cases of the disease were reported, Trump added, other nations and regions who followed WHO guidelines and kept their borders open to China accelerated the pandemic all around the world. The decision of other major countries to keep travel open was one of the great tragedies and missed opportunities from the early days. the WHO's attack on travel restrictions put political correctness above life-saving measures. Isn't it wonderful to hear a politician of the president of America's stature pointing this out, that political correctness is being put above everything? And it's now causing thousands of people to die due to this pandemic. It caused thousands of young white girls to be raped by Muslim rape gangs. And because of political correctness, the police were told not to investigate it. And exactly the same thing has happened here. Trump wanted to have a travel ban. That is quite clearly what the rest of the world should have done. And the mainstream press just attacked the politicians suggesting this and accused them of being racist, accused them of xenophobia. And we even had the mayor of that mayor in Italy going out saying, hug a Chinese, causing the epidemic in Italy, causing Italy to become a hotspot. We had Boris Johnson making a big show of the fact that he shook hands with all the COVID-19 patients in hospital. The only reason he would have been making a big show of that is to show how anti-racist he was. And he got the disease. People are putting political correctness above basic common sense. And this pandemic is highlighting that. And Trump is now highlighting that. Meanwhile, he credited his decision to ban flights from China in late January with saving an untold number of lives. Well, he did save an untold number of lives from doing that, but he should have done that right at the end of December. When we first learned about this, which was in December, I think the first deaths were in November, and I think I can recall hearing about it on the news just before Christmas. Maybe it was in the Christmas week. And I can remember thinking then, China needs to be isolated. We need to stop all flights from China. And I can remember thinking then, but our idiot governments won't do that. They won't do that because of the hubris that they have. They will think that the economy is more important and somehow they'll be able to deal with this. I think maybe they thought, well, it won't be that bad. Maybe it's not so bad. Because don't forget, we were also told at the time by China and by the WHO that it couldn't actually be transmitted between humans. It couldn't actually be transmitted between the touch or through the air. And this is at the same time as we're being given reports that all the fish in the fish tanks in the Wuhan market had tested positive with this. We've been told that pets are testing positive with it. I mean, it's quite obvious that it's actually airborne at the time. And they're still only now talking about the fact that the virus is airborne. And it's been known since the start of the outbreak. The US is the largest single contributor to the WHO, paying in some $893 million between 2018 and 2019, which made up around 15%. Of the agency's total budget during that period. So far in 2020, the US has agreed to pay some $57 million in assessed contributions to the WHO, the largest single payment by any country. Think about that. America has made the largest single payment to this organization, and yet this organization's loyalty is to multiculturalism, not to the country that is paying this money. These people have divided loyalties. They don't have loyalties to the people they should have loyalty to. They have loyalty to diversity, multiculturalism, unnatural ideas like that. Announcing the move to suspend funding on Tuesday, Trump suggested the WHO had been doing the bidding of China, where the coronavirus outbreak began before spreading to the United States. Trump pointed to the funding disparities between the two countries, which both fund the WHO. The president said, while American taxpayers pay around $400 to $500 million annually, China pays a tenth of that, at around $40 million a year. Well, I'm not sure that the WHO was actually doing the bidding of China. I think it's far more likely that Dr. Tedros was actually incompetent. I mean, if he has a 10-point lead on the rest of the population in Ethiopia, then his IQ is only going to be 71. I mean, you could add another 10 to that and say that his IQ is 81. He's actually got 20 points higher than the average, which would be the equivalent of a white man having an IQ of 120 or 125. Even if you say he's that intelligent, according to the psychology definitions, then that's borderline intellectual capability. So it wouldn't surprise me if Tedros just didn't pick up on this, and it was incompetence rather than him doing the bidding of China. Although there is evidence to show that it was the Chinese that were lobbying to have him promoted to leading the WHO. There was, in actual fact, a white British man who was also in the running, who had experience with pandemics, and they overlooked him for the Ethiopian guy with no experience of dealing with pandemics, and in actual fact, accusations of covering up the true Ebola figures. Since last week, Trump has blasted the WHO for being too China-centric, a point he continued to make on Tuesday. The World Health Organization pushed China's misinformation about the virus, saying it was not communicable and there was no need for travel bans, Trump said. Amongst the evidence for this is a tweet posted on January the 14th, when the WHO said that China had found no clear evidence of human-to-human transmission of the coronavirus, despite Taiwanese medics saying they had warned of human-to-human spread much earlier than this. And I think, actually, at the end of December, they were saying that there was human-to-human spread, and that this wasn't from just a case of bad food poisoning or something like that. There was evidence of this right from the beginning. And if Trump and his advisors had actually been looking at the scientific reports rather than paying attention to the WHO, they might have understood this. But I guess if you have treaties with this organization and you're paying them $500 million a year, then you're expecting them to be rigorous and to tell you the truth. But of course, if they've got a diversity hire out front, then you know that they're going to be incompetent, basically, if it's down to the guy that they put out the front there. And there's no reason to not think that. At the briefing, CNN's Caitlin Collins brought up how Trump is punishing the WHO for praising China's transparency, when he too praised China's transparency. Several days before Trump decided to announce the partial travel ban, he praised China's efforts on Twitter. "China has been working very hard to contain the coronavirus," he said. "The United States greatly appreciates their efforts and transparency. It will all work out well. In particular, on behalf of the American people, I want to thank President Xi." And Trump tweeted that on January the 24th. But of course, that was all based on the false information that he'd been told by the WHO. It was only a week previously to that that the WHO had told him that there was no evidence of human-to-human transmission. And they told him that there was no need for a travel ban. So he's saying, well, China have got this under control. The WHO have told me that. So it's hardly a gotcha to bring that up. It's just more evidence that the WHO were negligent in their reporting of this. Last week, Trump teased that he might halt funds, but then he walked back that threat when a reporter asked if that would be a smart move amidst a global panic. "I'm not saying I'm going to do it, but I'm going to look at it," Trump said then. But on Tuesday, he leaned in. "For the time, we will redirect global health and directly work with others. All of the aid that we send will be discussed with very powerful and influential and smart groups, medically, politically, and every other way," Trump said. "And we will be discussing it with other countries and global health partners, what we do with all that money that goes to the World Health Organization. And maybe the WHO will reform, and maybe they won't," Trump said. So it's not like they're just going to not pay out any money. What they're going to do is they're actually going to work with experts rather than diversity hires. They're going to work with experts and try and find a solution to this, because you can't just keep paying money out to the WHO when twice now they've given out totally dangerous information. I mean, more than twice. They believed the Chinese figures that there were just 3,000 dead. They believed the Chinese when they said that it couldn't be transferred by contact. And they gave out this absolutely awful advice that there was no need for a travel ban in the face of China quarantining the whole of Wuhan and by doing so preventing the disease getting out into Beijing. I mean, that's the most amazing thing. You can see that the travel ban worked for China, and then you've got the WHO advising everybody else not to do that. The WHO generally doesn't support travel bans because it could lead countries to underreport cases of disease and destabilize economies while a country is trying to fight an epidemic. So that's the truth there, isn't it? They were more concerned about the economy than about people's lives. And there wasn't a travel ban, and China still underreported the cases of disease. So this excuse of the WHO about underreporting disease and destabilizing economies, they've both been shown to be false. That's not the case. It doesn't prevent people underreporting cases of disease, and it's destabilized the economies of all these countries that now have this. 35%, they say, that the economy is going to retract by in Britain. Although travel restrictions may intuitively seem like the right thing to do, this is not something the WHO usually recommends, said Tariq Jazarevich, a WHO spokesperson, when discussing the China travel ban in late January when Trump put the US ban in place. This is because of the social disruption they cause and the intensive use of resources required, Jazarevich said. But if we had gone through with these travel bans, we wouldn't have this problem now, would we? Because the only place that this coronavirus would have taken off was in Wuhan, and the Chinese would have dealt with it. And when the Chinese said, we've now cleared all this up and we can now get back to work in Wuhan, that would have been it. It would have been no problem for the rest of the world. And, I mean, we could have even donated some money to the Chinese to help them out in doing that. And we wouldn't have to be walking around in face masks now and using hand sanitizer and learning that our grandparents have just died a horrific death in the care home. If we had just had some common sense and we had quarantined the country. And what we also should have done is any Chinese that had actually left China or left Wuhan, they should have been put into quarantine as well. And this is the way that China dealt with it. This is the way that the countries in Asia have dealt with it, the ones that have actually solved the problem. What's going on now is that they're getting new cases brought into places like China and South Korea, coming in from Europe, where we didn't close the borders. It's just amazing that their reason for not wanting to close the borders is because it might destabilize the economy. And these are the guys that are supposed to be there to keep us healthy. They're the ones that are supposed to advise us when we do need to close the borders. I say, is there any time that the borders did need closing, it's this. Trump didn't say that he necessarily thought the WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus should be replaced, as several Republican Senate allies of the president have called for. We're doing an investigation, the president answered to a question about a Tedros ouster. I don't know the gentleman, but I know there's been problems. You can say that again. Democrats slammed Trump for the move, saying this was not the time to stop cash for health. Well, he's not stopping cash for health, is he? He's still going to use that money. But instead of it going to the WHO, which has been shown to be incompetent, he's going to put together a team of experts. And he'll use these experts, which hopefully he gets some decent ones in there, the sort of people that would have backed him up when he said we needed to have a travel ban on China. So that's great news from Trump, that he's pointing out that it was political correctness that led to this. I do hope that this is an indicator of the way things are going to go, and I would like to see China sued for giving out these false numbers, these false figures, and maybe that can help rebuild our economies once we start getting back to normal life. And there's also been reports of from the government, from the American government, from these think tanks, they're now starting to say that it is possible that this virus was man-made, or that it escaped from the Wuhan Virus Research Center, which again is what nationalists have been saying all along. You've got a virus there that contains a little bit of bat virus, a little bit of snake virus, a little bit of pangolin virus, and four HIV inserts. I mean, that's hardly a natural virus, is it? It's not something we've ever come across before. Does the HIV virus, does that exist in the wild? Does it exist in the wild mixed up with snakes and bats? I mean, it just seems obvious to me when we first heard about it and what the virus actually was, that this was something man-made. It was some kind of genetic modification. And we were told, oh, that's just conspiracy theories. Well, now they're starting to talk about that as well. Nationalists are always so far ahead of the curve. If you want to know what's going on, listen to what the nationalists say, particularly listen to Radio Albion. Anyway, thank you very much for listening today. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.